This guy won a Stanley Cup.
That's right.
He is one of our favorite young defensemen in this league. Part of maybe, I would, without question, the best defense corps in the league. Right, Merrick?
Chicago's nice, but man, LA's looks fantastic.
I can't believe you insult our guest like that.
Okay,
Jake Muzzin joins us here. The Los Angeles Kings. I pitched a softball to Merrick for him to be like, yeah, it's definitely the best. This guy's one of the best of the best. I'm just like, he's like, oh, no, you know, Chicago's pretty good, too.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly a secret.
Chicago's is good.
Chicago's is pretty. Hey, first of all, Jake, congratulations. And you just had your day with the Cup. What did you do with it?
We had a busy day here in Woodstock, man. I brought it to both sides of the family, my mom's side, my dad's side, and then we had a parade and a key to the city ceremony.
Nice.
And then
we
did a little signing and pictures for a couple hours. We had barbecue with friends and family, and then we had a party at night, so it was a pretty busy day.
Now, for those that don't know, by the way, when Jake says Woodstock, he's not referring to Maxi Asger's farm. This isn't that Woodstock. This is Woodstock, which
Ontario.
Is how far away from London do you think Woodstock is? Like, what, 20 minutes, half an hour?
Yeah, we're about 30 minutes from London.
It's a nice town with a great hockey community as well. Hey, at what point did I'll let turn the vacation over to Greg here in a second, but at what point, because I would imagine that maybe it's not at that exact moment when it happened, when Martinez scored the goal, but at what moment, Jake, did it sink in that, you know, holy smokes, I'm going to get my name on the Stanley Cup, like my entire life, like as a kid dreaming about this. At what moment, Jake, did that sink in?
I think it was after all the screaming and commotion and all that. I just kind of took a couple deep breaths and tried to collect my thoughts and realize what's actually happening. And then it finally sunk in a little bit after all the commotion, and then just kind of going over what happened in the dressing room with the guys and just talking about it, and then it finally sunk in, really.
Well, evidently, I didn't know this until I did a little research about your day with the Cup. Woodstock is known as the dairy capital of Canada, somehow moving ahead of Moose Jizz on that that ranking. But,
sorry about that.
But Jake, you drank, you had to drink chocolate milk out of the Stanley Cup, huh?
Yeah, it was delicious.
Oh, I'm sure it was the best. Right?
it was like from a local farmer, and they had emailed me, and once they heard over the radio that I wanted to do some, well, I just said like maybe we'll do some chocolate milk out of it, and then we got a couple offers, and it was just a local farmer that we, from the farmer's market, we bought their chocolate milk before, so I knew it was good, so we threw her in there.
Yeah, you don't want it inferior chocolate milk. And the other question I have about your day with the Cup, sir, was this your first time ever riding on a fire engine?
Yeah, it was. We got to go in the bucket of the fire truck, I guess. they lifted it up a little bit high, and then I was actually kind of a little bit scared in there. I was like, holy shit, if I drop the Cup from here, it'd be donezo.
Well, you know, Patty Kane got stuck in that thing, right, in Buffalo? When they won their first Cup, they put him in the cherry picker, and they raised him up in the air, and the damn thing got stuck in the air. He was stuck up there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, you know, there's those thoughts go through your mind when you're sitting in this bucket, and it's not the smoothest, man. It's kind of jerky, you know, and you're hanging onto the Cup, and it's like, holy crap. But everything worked out nicely.
Hey, when did you think that, like for you, I'm not sure at what level you thought that, you know what, the NHL, I have a legitimate shot at playing pro hockey in the NHL. I mean, you're drafted, and I'm going to get all junior geeky. People are used to it on this podcast. You went in the 2005 OHL draft, the John Tavares draft. The you know, he comes in as the exceptional kid. You went to the Greyhounds, 11th overall, right before Logan Couture goes to the Ottawa 67s. Was it then, like when you get drafted in the OHL, you say to yourself, you know what, I really have a shot here? Was it before then? Was it after then? At what point do you think, you know what, I can be an NHLer?
Well, you know, maybe I thought about it then, but then I didn't really, I didn't play at all my first year or half my second year. So it, once I started playing in junior and then maybe it kicked in again and I got drafted to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, I didn't really even think about the NHL too much. My first couple years in junior, it was more just playing hockey and having fun. And once you get like hockey taken away from you, like it happened to me, like for a year and a half, I was just kind of happy playing again. And I didn't really think too much of as playing for a job or a career. And but then once I started, I didn't sign with Pittsburgh and I started getting school packages and I do not want to go to school. I better start taking this hockey a little more seriously. And then ended up having a really good OA year in junior, and signed as a free agent from there. So and then it got serious for me.
That's a very positive message from Jake Muzzin. All you kids that are wondering about staying in school.
Yeah, don't do it. Just don't chase hockey. Well, it's funny, too. I remember your OA year with the Greyhounds as well, and I would imagine that there were, Jake, a number of teams, because you had a bonanza year in your overage year.
Yeah.
I would imagine there was a lot of teams that came knocking on your door. And to be honest with you, Jake, I was kind of surprised that you chose Los Angeles, considering, you know, how much of a full shop that already was on the blue line.
Yeah. Well, there was a couple other teams and offers, and then one of the teams, they didn't have an AHL team at the time. They were kind of shipping their guys everywhere, and talking with my agent and with my parents and stuff like that, they said, like, you know, the chances of you hopping right into the NHL are, you know, it's kind of slim. So you want to have like a good solid sound, like AHL team where you can play pro hockey and learn to play pro hockey and a good development team to learn from there. And so we ended up picking LA, you know, based on some other things, not just their what they had and the decor. They had a good decor, and you know, we picked it basically on having a good development program and you know, seeing guys move from the AHL to the NHL. And we went on that, and it worked out. I can't really complain about anything. So
I'm trying to figure out who those teams could be as I go back into your history here. I'm going to throw darts and say it's either Dallas or Edmonton.
No.
I'm off?
Yeah. You missed. Well, you missed the board.
In fairness, he's always been much better at other bar games than darts, to be honest.
That's certainly true.
Hey, Jake, take us in the locker room, man. Like, a lot of those, well, not a lot, like the majority of your team obviously had already won a ring, and this was your first Stanley Cup celebration locker room. What was it like in there? Was it based on what your expectations were?
Well, I was around for the 2012 year. And I was a black ace, so I was in the dressing room watching everyone celebrate and have a good time. It really kind of pissed me off because I knew my name wouldn't get on the cup and I wouldn't get a ring. So I was like, you know what? I want to do this again and be a part of it, you know, have a bigger role. And we had that opportunity last year, and we took advantage of it, and I had an opportunity to be a part of it and play a bigger role, and it was really rewarding, and I was so happy that everything came together last year.
Who passed you the cup?
Nolan. Jordan Nolan, I think, or Dwight King, one of the two. We've always kind of, I think it was Nolan, yeah.
So then who passed it? Who did you pass it to?
I don't know. It was all a blur. Martin Jones, maybe, or Toffoli. I don't know. One of the.
Is there? I'm gonna get all junior geeky again, but there's a large group of OHL players on that Los Angeles Kings team. You know, you mentioned Toffoli and Tanner Pearson and yourself and Jeff Carter and Mike Richards and go down the line. Is that like sort of like? I don't know why I get too emotional about it, but is there something special about coming from one very specific league, whether it's the West or the Q, or in your case, the OHL, and that you all find yourselves playing on the Stanley Cup winning squad?
You know, it's more about, we just brag about how the OHL is the best league, and
that's what I was fishing for, actually, Jake, so thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That's pretty much what it is. We just brag to the WHL that we produce more guys than you, and to the you know, the school guys that the OHL produces the most and, you know, the better hockey player. But it's all jokes. You know, all leagues are good and they produce all good hockey players. But on our team, it just adds, you know, it adds to our argument that the OHL is the best, and because we have so many guys that have came from the OHL. So it's pretty much just all jokes in the room about the O being the best producer of NHL guys.
Well, no arguments from these microphones, right, Greg?
Oh, of course not, except, yeah, why would the American put over the NCAA? hey, so are you at all taken aback, surprised, impressed with how LA has transformed into a hockey town? I mean, it's always been a hockey town, but the bandwagon for this team, man, like being out there this time versus in previous years, it's pretty impressive how many Kings fans seem to have popped up since the first cup.
Yeah, it's kind of just been, you know, it's been a work in progress, and I've only been there for two and a half years, maybe been around for three. But even in that short little time, I've noticed the growth in fans, and especially down where we live, it's a little more, you know, in Southern California, is not, it's more about a beach and, you know, going surfing and longboarding. But we get noticed a little bit more now and stuff like that. And I think it's just, you know, with Dean Lombardi and what he's done and bringing in guys and kind of creating a winning atmosphere and, young guys coming in that have helped and produced and just everything kind of coming together and putting in a winning franchise together. And that's the result of it, is more fans and, you know, more getting recognized more and more publicity and all that stuff. And I know we're in the West and we don't get as much coverage as the East, but down where there's a lot going on with fans and events and stuff like that. It's growing and it's good for California. With the young kids playing and, you know, leagues are popping up and different teams are being successful in producing players from California.
Well, we should ask the LA Kings question that every LA King has to get, which is, who is the most famous person that you've met while with the LA Kings?
Well, probably my buddy there, Will Ferrell.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. you meet some people and they're all cool guys. You know, I don't know how much they know about hockey, but some of them are pretty cool.
Whatever. Yeah, it's a cool hang. Hey, last one for me, and congratulations on winning the Stanley Cup. I'm not sure how much of an analytics guy you are, how much you follow it, or how much you care, but there's a guy by the name of Stephen Birch, who's one of my favorite analytics follows on Twitter, and he takes analytics, you know, to another level. Tyler Dello is a great one, but Birch is... man, Birch gets me confused sometimes. But he put this post up last night about you and TJ Brody. I'll just read it out to you. Jake Muzzin and TJ Brody rank first and third, respectively, for average D Corsi impact over the last seven seasons, and they're entering the third and fourth years now. If they maintain this kind of level of play they've posted so far in their young careers, they have the potential to be, here comes the big word, Jake, generational. Admittedly, with Muzzin, it's very early, under 2,000 minutes, 5 versus 5 time on ice. Brody, we can be more sure about. But if they're still doing this stuff in a year or two, then yeah, we can probably say they're greats. If they're doing it 3 to 4 years from now, it'll be obvious to virtually everyone. That's high praise from someone that follows it very closely from an analytics point of view. Jake, where do you feel your game is at?
Well, I feel my game leaving the playoffs was probably the best it's ever been. And feeling comfortable on the ice with my partner and with the team. And feeling confident in my game and excited for to... you know, improve and get better. And, you know, I'm not big on following those numbers and all that stuff. We just kind of go out, play and have fun. But I'm pretty confident that if me and Drew can stay healthy and play well, that we can, you know, make some noise in the league and try to be one of the best 1-2 partners in the league, and that's our goal, and that's what we want to do.
And last one for me, Jake, and thanks for joining us on a hockey podcast in July. Daryl Sutter is kind of an interesting, different kind of dude. Did it take you a while to kind of decode and decipher Daryl Sutter, or is he a pretty straight shooter behind the scenes? Are you able to kind of glean what he's saying and what he's meaning, despite sometimes his complete lack of emotion?
Yeah, it's he's a pretty straight shooter in the dressing room and what he wants done, and he kind of leaves that mystery with the media and stuff like that, but he's pretty straightforward and honest in the dressing room, and keeps guys honest as well, which is good. And he's been awesome for me in my career, and I thank him a lot for giving me an opportunity a couple of years ago to play and to stay around. And it's he's a great coach, and I know he sometimes comes off in the media a little different, but he's awesome behind the scenes.
Yeah, I can still remember the first time I finally realized that he had an upper lip and that he had teeth behind it as well. It was a remarkable day, Jake. It was a remarkable day. Congrats again, and enjoy the rest of your summer. Look forward to seeing you back in a Kings uniform next fall.
All righty. Thanks, guys.